This is Batgirl, and this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Stephen C. Phillips and Mike Blanchard.
Hello, and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this batty episode is only part of the dynamic duo, TFG1 Mike.
Don't you mean part of the terrific trio?
Yeah, I wasn't going there, so. So what's up?
Not much. Finally getting a fourth episode out of this show. We have so much stuff going on in December. It's not even funny.
Well, it could be.
Well, yes. Transformation Animation Podcast is coming to an end. I've got the crossover with Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados that we've been pretty much pre-recording a bunch of episodes because we've got all the way up to this point, episode 9 of Tooncast, which episode 9 doesn't air until sometime late January, early February, I think. Getting that done, getting some blog posts done. We added a new blogger. Have we given him? I think it is Godspeed, isn't he? Yeah, it's Dan Clark. Well, sorry, Dan, but your name's going to be around the site anyways, dude. So, but yeah, we added him to be a blogger on the site. We've gotten the application for people that want to join the network, put up and together, and you know, three strikes and you're out.
Pretty much like baseball.
Yeah, exactly. What else has been going on with me? I've had so much other stuff going on. I have yet to do anything with ToyCast. We did put out PuggleCast, Christmas 2011, the PuggleFormer episode that we will be putting out yearly. But ToyCast is set to come back in January, and I have yet to do anything with it at this point.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got XRG, and I haven't done shit with it either, and it's already had an episode edited.
The difference is you have a fully recorded episode ready to go.
It's not ready to go. There's a ton of work to do.
You've been working on that thing since we recorded it, and that was over 3 weeks ago.
I've been preoccupied with better things, and every time I get to it, I'm like, I don't want to mess with this episode right now.
You lazy bastard.
No, I have no problem editing an episode that's following a script.
Well, hey, you're the one that screwed the script up.
I wasn't the only one.
No. You were the one that screwed the actual script up, the order of the script, so...
Well, it may have been screwed up, but everyone went out of order anyhow, so...
Off the bottom, this is very random. It's hard for even me to keep him in line, so that's not my fault. So, yes, we are here, and we are talking about more BTAS episodes. And as I said, We're working on the end of the year stuff. You know, we don't just put out a gift guide and then go on hiatus for six months.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too much?
But no, we're working through the holidays. A bunch of blog posts coming up. We've got our year in review episode of Geekcast Radio coming up. So that's pretty much what I've been preoccupied with.
Yeah, I've been doing some image editing. I've been doing some small tweaks to the site. We've added, like you said, the join the network instead of join the voicemail. Yes, we've added another podcast, but I'm still waiting to hear back. As far as the blogger, yes, that is awesome. We'll have some blog content besides what we happen to get to when we get to it, because we primarily do the podcasts. So, yeah, we've got that. I've been playing the hell out of Arkham City. Not so much this week, but I was playing the hell out of it.
Right.
So, yes, I've beat it 3 times. Sad but true. Other than that, I don't think too much has been going on. Other than possibly hearing good news on a possible endeavor that was mentioned last year.
Yes.
On the end of the year-end show. So, hopefully that will come to fruition this month.
Awesome.
So, with that, we'll get into the first episode.
Watch yourselves, men. These guys are crazy. Thanks, friend.
What's going down?
This morning I get a warning from the feds. Red Claw is in Gotham. Now this.
Any leads?
Nothing. Red Claw is the most ruthless terrorist leader in the world. And we don't even have a picture of the guy.
I'll see what I can do from my end.
Good. There's no telling what they're up to. Nothing's safe with these savages in town.
First up today is The Cat in the Claw, which is a 2-part episode, which actually was the series premiere of Batman the Animated Series, although it was the 13th and 16th episodes produced. It was aired first to tap into the interest of the character of Catwoman, aroused by the release of the live-action film Batman Returns.
Yeah, as we've said so far in Legends of the Dark Knight, the air date order and the production order are all over the place with this cartoon, with Batman the Animated Series. I mean, it's just all over the place. But yeah, this is the tie-in to Batman. This episode's story doesn't tie into Batman Returns, but it ties into the interest of Catwoman. And as much as everybody liked looking at Michelle Pfeiffer in the, you know, skin-tight black leather suit,
I like this costume so much better.
I much prefer the voice for Catwoman in this, which is Adrienne Barbeau. Very, very awesome voice. She and Conroy pretty much complement each other as the two characters. This episode is basically about a gang who are trying to steal this high-tech... It's basically a high-tech train robbery, is what it is. And everyone says, oh, Red Claw, he's this, he's that. Well, turns out, Red Claw is a woman.
An ugly one at that.
Well, she had bodacious tatas, that's about it.
Nothing much to look at above that.
No.
Catwoman... as Michael Wilson would say, but
yeah,
but yeah, I like this episode,
mm-hmm.
especially for the fact that they have Batman pretty much chasing her around.
Yeah,
I like the design on this character, being that this is the first new rendition we've gotten of this character.
Well, since Batman Returns and since the original 1966 version, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's much more closely to the 66 version over any of the others.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say I definitely like this version the best.
Yeah.
I'm not fond of when they change the character again later in the series, but that's another story for later. But, no, I like the fact that she's pretty much just kind of, you know, you get to see her alter ego in this as well. As Selina, and then,
yeah.
Of course, eventually, she gets to, basically, she gets to kiss Batman.
Yeah.
Or she takes advantage of him, and he just kind of stands there. But, yeah, Batman first gets the hots for her here.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing that this series does that a lot of the other stuff didn't is, well, at least, I don't know about the comics, but as far as I remember, the 66 series didn't do this, and the movie, Batman Returns, didn't really play too much about this. She has her pet cat, Isis, that follows her around everywhere. And I really like that aspect of it.
It's like she carries around a kid that does work for her.
Yeah. Yep.
Which Frank Welker does the voice for.
Yeah, Frank Welker does the voice for everything.
Yeah, if it's an animal, you can pretty much say that he was attached.
Yeah. Some production notes for this one. Bruce Timm has said that the end sequence is geared around the explosions, but they were artistically poor, and the animation was redone 2 or 3 times. Although he felt the final product was still awful, they ran out of time and had to air it. So that's probably why you have various production dates versus air dates.
I think this would have been a stronger episode to start out with.
Yeah, probably.
Than On Leather Wings.
Yeah.
I don't, like I said before, I don't like On Leather Wings. I would have much preferred this one over it.
Yeah.
Especially being a two-parter like it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's nice to see the connections between the Batman Returns, you know, with Selina Kyle and Batman meeting and real life, and then as their alter egos, and then it's nice to, instead of making her a outright villain, she's kind of a villain, but kind of not.
Yeah.
She's in it for herself, but she does have a conscience, unlike the rest of them. So, but the Red Claw, I've never been fond of this organization in the series.
Yeah.
You know, the chick with the skunk hair and red suit. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just, I don't care for those characters, but they do make hateable villains.
Yes. Out of all of, like, the gangs or the mob syndicates that we've seen so far, I would say that Rupert Thorne and Roland Daggett have the best, and then Red Claw comes in third place. The only thing I can think of now that you said skunk hair in a red suit, the only thing I can think of was Red Claw was Britney Spears in a red suit before Britney Spears was in the red suit.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I mean, I just it's a good episode. I like the fact that they're giving Catwoman more to do. And it's a good kind of love story for, star-crossed lover syndrome story for Batman and Catwoman, but the crime and all that, it's just your typical villain of the week thing. There wasn't anything about the Red Claw gang crime that really, you know, grabbed my attention whatsoever.
I have to agree with you there. It almost, in Batman Begins, almost had something similar.
Yeah.
You know, train car, canister of something that will harm the entire city and kill them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they kind of reused it later on, which, you know, it's a good plot, but ultimately forgettable villains.
Yeah.
If you had, like, for the Joker, for instance, doing this, a big clown train going down the town and, you know, that's going to blow up under the city and spray Joker gas everywhere, killing everybody with laughter.
Yeah.
That would have been a good plot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it also helps that you have Catwoman and Batman kind of working together against the Red Claw.
Yeah. And the thing about this to me, and I know I might get flack for saying this, but I just finished watching Captain America. To me, this is almost like a Nazi plot. She wants to destroy the city or whatever else with some chemical that's going to alter, you know, turn everyone into zombies or something. You know, I don't know. It just didn't really grasp me at all. As far as these, like, everybody loves a good villain, except when the villains suck.
I do like the irony in this episode, though.
Yeah.
That the Red Claw leaves the plague virus with 2 remaining guys, saying that the virus is too dangerous to keep, that they'll release a fake plague on Gotham, and by the time they realize it's fake, they'll have $10 billion in gold.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of funny in that, but overall, I'd have to say this episode is good, but it's half forgettable. The only thing that it helps cement in your mind is the relationship between Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the main thing here is that relationship / you know, frenemies type of thing. That's the key here. The villain and the plot to destroy the world with the plague gas, that's secondary, and that sucks in this episode.
But it is funny, Batman does admit his feelings for Catwoman, and yep. Then he arrests her anyway. He's like, hey, I love you, but no.
You broke the law.
He's like, you don't mess with the bat.
That's right.
But, I thought it was kind of cool that they used the Batman Returns hook to kind of, you know,
yeah,
dig into this and get some more people. So that is kind of cool.
Yep.
So, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
I gotta say something about a couple quotes, though, before I move on.
Okay.
Batman says, Red Claw, a woman? And then she's like, do you have a problem with that? Not at all, I'm an equal opportunity crime fighter.
Yeah.
And then Catwoman's like, you can't deny there's something between us, Batman. You're right, and I'm afraid it's the law.
Yep.
But, yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, funny moments Batman gets in the show, but he just plays them off, like, completely, like, monotone.
It's monotone deadpan humor, but because it's Conroy and because it's his version of Batman, it just makes them sound... The monotone humor is what makes it funny.
Well, and then you can almost kind of hear a smirk in his voice as he's saying it.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you see on the character's face. So yeah. It's awesome how these are all played off in every episode.
Yes.
So with that, we'll move on.
Kimberly? Kimmy? Kimmy?
Mojo, you came back!
Sure, I said I would, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
Look what I got for you.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Now, don't worry. I know that what you've really been hoping for is a pearl necklace. Well, I haven't found just the right one yet, but Mojo promises he'll bring you one next time he visits.
Oh.
Kimmy, what's wrong?
Next time better be soon, or you might not find us. Mommy says we're moving.
Huh? Moving?
Uh-huh. She says things will be better for us someplace else.
Kimberly? Who are you talking to?
Nobody, Mommy, just Mojo.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed him. I would have said hi.
He really was here, Mommy.
I know, honey, I know. Now go to sleep.
Up next is See No Evil. In a somewhat rundown suburb of Gotham City, a window of a house opens, seemingly of its own accord, and then a disembodied voice wakes the young girl sleeping in her bedroom. Kimmy, she wakes up to greet her friend, Mojo. That just sounds creepy.
God. Mojo Vision, anybody?
Mojo Jojo.
Yeah, there is Mojo Jojo, but Mojo Vision was an episode of X-Men the Animated Series. Kind of like the Superman, it's kind of like the Justice League episode, War World, where Mojo had the same thing that Mongol had, where they want these fighters to fight each other. They want these superheroes or whatever to fight each other. So, yeah. This one is basically a guy in an invisible suit stealing stuff to make his daughter happy.
Basically that, and because he's not allowed to see her.
Yeah.
So he's going around so that he can still see her without the wife knowing. Ex-wife.
Without the mother knowing, without the police knowing, because apparently he was a criminal at one point. He got sent to jail, and she had a restraining order against him or some sort of court deal like that. And this invisible suit allows him to get around that. And, you know, Kimmy calls him her imaginary friend, Mojo. This episode is so filler.
Oh, it is 100% filler. This character is not only forgettable because, one, he never returns, but it's just, it was a decent episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 100% filler. There's no doubt that it was, you know, just put there just to fill a time slot.
Yeah. And, I mean, even with the concept of them wanting the Batman the Animated Series episodes to be mini-movies, I did not get the mini-movie vibe off this episode whatsoever.
No, I got the villain of the week.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with who it was written by.
Yeah. I think the only good thing about this episode, honestly, is the technology, because we will see this again. We will see it again in this sort of technology. We'll see it again in Superman the Animated Series with Lightner / Luminous. And we will see it again in Batman Beyond with Ian Peake as well.
Well, you almost see it with the bat suit because he can turn that invisible.
Yeah, but that's slightly different technology. Yeah, that's more stealth. This is more... And this is stealth too, but just, I don't know, this one's weird. This is more electromagnetic stealth than anything else.
Well, and the funny note about this writer is he's wrote three things for BTAS.
Yeah.
This episode, Paging the Crime Doctor, and Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
How does he write an episode like this and write something great like Mask of the Phantasm? I don't know. But no, the invisibility suit was kind of cool. I like how the fact that, you know, he pretty much just stole it from Wayne Tech. But it sucks that, I don't know, the whole premise of the story sucks for that guy, but at the same time, I'm ultimately left at the end of the episode not really caring.
Yeah. The one good thing as far as trivia out of this one is that Michael Gross, who voiced Ventrix, actually goes on to voice Warren McGinnis in Batman Beyond.
That's kind of cool.
Yep.
You get Lucius Fox in this episode, too.
Yep. Yeah, Lucius is in here. Very awesome.
But no, I'd have to say ultimately, yeah, complete filler.
Yeah, I'll
get into my ratings of the episodes at the end of the episode or the end of the podcast. But
yeah.
So with that, we'll be moving on.
Haunts the night. A silent crusader carries the torch of justice. Those with evil hearts, beware, for out of the darkness comes the Grey Ghost. Tonight's episode, The Mad Bomber.
Up next is Beware the Grey Ghost. It is a noteworthy feature episode featuring Adam West, most famous for his portrayal of Batman in the 1960s, yes, as the lead guest star. In a flashback, a young Bruce Wayne is watching an episode of his favorite show, The Grey Ghost. Cutting between the past and the present, the same thing is happening in the present as is in the TV show.
Yep. This episode was awesome.
Yes, I'd have to say this is the most epic episode of the day.
I'm surprised you don't have your Grey Ghost figure standing next to you on your desk or something from that Joker 3-pack I sent you.
I have all of my Batman's the Batmans, the Grey Ghosts, the Jokers, Two-Face, Riddler. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this episode was awesome. It's basically, if you want to nitpick on it, it's basically the old man coming into rough times and not thinking he's worth anything. You know, that type of thing where Batman has to try to build his self-esteem back up to be able to stop the crimes that are happening against this man as far as his stuff being stolen and all that stuff. But having Adam West as the Grey Ghost is just awesome.
Well, it's almost a funny parallel on this. If you think about it, Batman Beyond Episode 1.
Yep.
Because Bruce is in the same rut that the Grey Ghost is here.
Yeah.
And then Terry picks him back up and he jumps back in the game.
Yeah. I'd almost disagree, though, with that, because the difference is that Bruce is a multi-billionaire. I mean, the thing with, and of course, when we get to Batman Beyond, we'll get into more of this, but since we're talking about it here, I might as well bring it up. The thing about Bruce what's it called? What's the name of that first two-parter? I don't remember. The first two-parter for Batman Beyond. The thing about that is Bruce has been alive all this time, and he's pretty much stepped out of his company, but he still has all his money and his mansion and everything else. He's just a lonely old man. Versus in this episode where you have the Grey Ghost guy, pretty much, you know, he was at his height of popularity, and now he's not, and people are you know, the guy that's in the store that's robbing him and everything else, and it is slightly similar, but it's also very different as well. I just love the fact that you have Adam West in a Batman episode without it being the 1966 campiness.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
There is a little bit of it. There are a few puns where it does show, but it's not constantly, well, this is what we have to do now, old chum, or head to the back computer, old chum. You know, it's none of that. And I like that Adam West was able to step out of that and pay homage to Bruce Wayne's biggest hero.
Yeah, that was definitely kind of cool.
Yeah. As far as some continuity bits here, Bruce still keeps his Grey Ghost merchandise in the Batcave in the time of Batman Beyond, 50 years in the future. In Blackout, he dons the old hat and goggles as a disguise to shield his identity from Ink when she infiltrates the cave. The release of the series on video appears to have revived an interest in character as the film The Grey Ghost Strikes Again would be made in the future, seen as a theater by a young Terry McGinnis and his parents, as seen in Justice League Unlimited epilogue, although it is highly unlikely that Simon Trent portrayed the character again.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah, he couldn't have portrayed the character again because he was, like, old.
Yeah, nice nod, obviously, because, and again, I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, but in Epilogue, you had to have a similar story to Bruce's for Terry.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, while Simon Trent probably wasn't that Grey Ghost, it's nice to still have the nod.
Yeah, I'm glad that they did this whole episode. This was really good, really fun. It wasn't... you could almost argue that it's not imperative to have, but it's a nice like backstory for Bruce showing where he got some of his ideas. I mean, yeah. Because even in Mask of the Phantasm, you see him originally in one of the pre-Bat costumes. He drew a picture of the Grey Ghost and kind of scribbled it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been heavily influenced by this character, even way back when.
Oh, yeah.
And to meet him in modern day and be able to actually fight crime next to him for a little bit was, you know, that's like the difference between us talking about a voice actor or talking with a voice actor.
Yeah.
Except his is much cooler, but but yes, and I do like the fact that they used it in Batman Beyond again.
Yep.
Little bit of trivia. The video store clerk resembles Paul Dini.
Yes.
Tim's writing partner, who was quite heavy at the time, it is said that he was inspired to lose weight after seeing himself caricatured as such as on Tiny Toon Adventures. It says Ted Dimer also himself appears to be the basis for the Batman villain Cosmo Crank, a.k.a. Toymaker.
Yep.
As far as Adam West, Tim and Dini stated that they wanted West from the beginning to voice Simon Trent, and they said they would not have done the episode had he refused.
Awesome.
Which, that's really nice that they put their foot down and made sure. But, it says, since they feared he would be offended by an animated parody of his typecasting, West, however, was happy to voice the character. Which, you know, that's always awesome to see an old actor come back to a franchise.
Yeah.
The poster in the shrine in the Batcave features the Grey Ghost holding his cap the same way as the Batman the Animated Series logo.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this episode, The Mad Bomber, was episode... the episode of Grey Ghost... The Mad Bomber was episode 18. This episode of Batman is also episode 18, production-wise.
Sweet.
But, yeah.
Overall, a really great episode.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really enjoyed watching this one.
Yeah, I love this episode. If they would have made... Now, this would have been an interesting thing, making a Grey Ghost spinoff.
I don't know,
like, if that a short miniseries, not like a complete full blown.
Yeah. Or, you know, what they could have done.
Or having him pop back in from time to time.
Yeah. Or if they made like a Grey Ghost DCU movie or something like that, that would be kind of cool, probably.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Having that show up somewhere.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I love this episode. It may be, you know, partially a filler. I mean, as it's not any of Batman's main, you know, rogue gallery or any kind of thing, but it does move into his background.
Yeah.
And for his love of this character, which even through Batman Beyond is still very, very high.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it is a Grey Ghost episode just wipes away all the fact that it might have some filler points. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is just as good as a main rogue gallery villain episode.
I like this episode as much as having the Joker in an episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Only this is opposite because it's, you know, hero, not villain. But
right.
But yeah, it was really, really well done.
Yep.
So with that, we'll be moving on to the final episode of the day.
Thing I do know is these days my father won't make a move without him. Daddy's even part of a secret brotherhood.
Secret brotherhood?
He won't even tell his own family what it's about. Thanks to Mr. All-Wise, All-Wonderful Nostromos.
Peace to all, brothers and sisters. The negative plane is aligned with the positive, bringing forth astral harmony.
What?
The vibrations are right for prophecy.
Oh, okay.
That which you seek and cannot find is the seeker. You are merely the eye trying to view itself.
This is awfully deep.
Shh.
We are but radios for the cosmic transmitter. Tune your receivers. Hear the inner voice. Ah!
What is going on?
Brother Ethan, the inner voice speaks. Someone here is in grave danger.
Oh, messenger of death is searching, crying out for you.
Last up is Prophecy of Doom. It depicts the appearance of Nostromos, a self-proclaimed psychic that has conned several rich individuals to put massive amounts of money into a trust fund to prepare for a great fall. Things turn quite sour when he orders an attempt on Bruce Wayne's life to scare his followers into believing him. Now Batman must expose this fraud for what he truly is. Doesn't everybody know by now, you don't fuck with Bruce Wayne. Batman always comes back and kicks their ass.
That's right. And Nostromos or whatever, it's basically a DCAU version of Nostradamus. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, that's it. And it's...
It's so clearly see that. Obvious. Yeah, it's so fucking blatantly obvious. But, I mean, really?
I hated this character with a freaking passion. I mean, it does show that, you know, how much of a coward a normal rich person would be.
Right.
Like, faced with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you see Bruce Wayne just like, I'm not really that worried about it. He goes out as Batman. They're like, where's Bruce? You know, kind of thing. They can't find Bruce because he's Batman. But it's funny that this guy's like, oh, the messenger of death is searching, crying out for you, and then points at Bruce.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so overplayed and so stupid. And it's just,
Yeah, this episode sucks.
It's nice to see some of the detective work that, you know, Batman comes to, you know.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much figured out that this guy's all cheap tricks and gimmicks.
Yeah.
This guy is, like, no match.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just funny. This whole episode, it's just about trying to kill Bruce Wayne. And...
Well, that's kind of no different than a later episode we'll get to with Doctor Strange. But, yeah, I mean, this is so... God, this episode just... Ugh. I never want to watch this episode ever again.
No.
Never again.
But it's still... And it sucks at the end.
Yeah.
Because Alfred is shocked to hear that Bruce has given the Brotherhood $10 million. And then Batman says that it's just for appearances, and Alfred is even more shocked to hear that the fund now totals over $300 million. It's just, I don't know. It's so stupid.
It is, yeah.
So, but, yeah, I could do without ever seeing this episode again.
Yeah, I could too. It just sucks. So, let's move on to something else.
Yeah, so let's move on to the, because this episode's not even worth mentioning quotes.
No.
We found one good one on
Grey Ghost.
On See No Evil that was worth anything, but it didn't matter enough to mention it in the thing. The Grey Ghost has plenty of them.
Oh, yeah.
And here there's just this. I'd rather watch See No Evil than this episode again.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Because at least there's some kind of a, you know, villain dynamic. This is just boring.
Yeah, we'll give our grades at the end.
But anyways, we'll move on to the commercial break, and we'll be back after this.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today using promo code GeekCastRadio at Stitcher.com/GeekCastRadio or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hey! Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We'll also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast. Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Are you a fan of gaming? Then check out GCRN's first ever gaming podcast, Extreme Retro Gaming. It's your one-stop shop for emulation, retro, and modern gaming. Hear talk on your favorite games from classic consoles of the current day. The show will feature one-shots on a single game every single episode. So stay tuned in for Extreme Retro Gaming, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
So, final thoughts on the episodes.
Cat in the Claw, I would give probably a 5 out of 10. It was good for the Batman Catwoman stuff, but the Villain of the Week thing just kind of dragged it down. See No Evil, I would probably give a 4 out of 10. It was okay, but it wasn't... I like the fact that they introduced the technology of the invisible suit thing, and we'll see that later, but... It was filler pretty much for that one. Grey Ghost gets a 10. Grey Ghost was awesome. Prophecy of Doom gets a 0. Prophecy of Doom is the worst episode this week. What about you?
The Cat in the Claw, I'll give it a 7. Only for the fact that I would have given it maybe a little bit higher had it been actually the intro to the series, but
yeah,
I like the Catwoman character. I like the design. I like the whole portrayal, everything about it. I don't care for Red Claw, but it wasn't as forgettable as two other episodes in here. I'll have to give this one, like I said, a 7 out of 10. See No Evil, I'll give a 5, because, I mean, yes, the invisibility, like you said, comes back later. Ultimately, this one is a forgettable episode.
Oh, yeah.
Beware the Grey Ghost. I have to agree, 10 out of 10. There's no doubt in my mind. Hands down, this one rocks.
Yeah.
This is one of the... When I tell people to watch the show, this is one of the ones that I mention.
Oh, yeah.
So...
This is why this series is so good, is because of episodes like the Grey Ghost.
I mean, you're always going to have, you know, a couple episodes that just, you know, they don't rank very high.
Yeah.
But you're always, with a show of this caliber, you've got a good 85% of the episodes are going to kick ass. And this is no different. And I love the nod to the original Batman.
Yeah.
So, of Adam West. Awesome. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Prophecy of Doom, I'd give it a 1.
I can't...
Just I got to be a little bit more optimistic than you on the numbering, so I got to give it a 1.
It's not often that I'll give a 0, but this Prophecy of Doom just had no interesting plot. You know, the only real good part about it was Batman's detecting, and even that, it's just like, why am I watching this episode? It just, no.
Yeah, I could kind of see that, but I like the fact that there was the death threat on him. I mean, I like the title card, the episode name. I don't care for the villain whatsoever. Complete throwaway that you never see again.
Yeah.
Like we said, it's ultimately, this one is more forgettable than See No Evil, because at least See No Evil, you have something that recurs later.
Yeah.
This does not. This is just another one of those, basically blackmail the rich guy to give you money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why this one's forgettable. So, I think that wraps it up.
Yep.
So, thank you for joining us on Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback in the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please
join the voicemail!
Yes, join the voicemail! You had to get one in there. You haven't said it in a while. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight. My Twitter name is at SCP21, and your Twitter name is
TFG1 Mike.
Join us next time when we discuss Feet of Clay Part 1 and 2, The Joker's Favor, Vendetta, and Fear of Victory. Which, much better episode selection than this week, other than the one.
Oh, yes.
So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TFG1 Mike,
singing the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman. Thank you for listening, until next time.
Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?